This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Hello, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
Wolopanaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji. And this is Pacific Prepared.
That's right, Joe. It's a show all about natural disasters, climate change, and traditional knowledge, and how those things are all connected. And we'll hear that through stories from across the Pacific.
Absolutely. And we work closely with our reporters in the Pacific, who supply or feed us content every week to be part of the show or the program every week. Yeah.
And as you can hear on today's show, we are not in our usual spot. We are on location in Micronesia. We're on Pohnpei, so it's fantastic to see you in person again, Joe.
Yes, absolutely, Fred. It is a pleasure to be standing in front of you and doing this, putting together this episode. As you've correctly stated, Pohnpei in the Federated States of Micronesia, that's in the northern part of the Pacific.
So on today's show, Joe, we're going to be talking to a local community leader who spoke to us about what his role is during natural disasters and how he has to prepare the community.
Absolutely, Fred. And it's sort of like a similar to Fiji when we approach those traditional leaders in traditional settings, where there are certain protocols that needs to be observed or followed prior.
And also today, Joe, we're going to be talking about World Radio Day, which is happening very soon around this program.
Yep.
And we'll talk about what the importance is of radio in the Pacific, and specifically Micronesia as well.
Yes, and it plays a vital role, not only in Micronesia, but across the Pacific. And we've heard some great feedback from some people about the impact of radio here in FSM, especially in times of disaster, Fred.
Well, that's all coming up.
This is Pacific Prepared.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Joe, we're standing in a very warm area at the moment in Pohnpei, in Micronesia. We're in a fish market, which, yes, if you look around, it's full of like things for your eyes to feast on. I mean, there are traditional headwear here as well, and also obviously fish in the market too.
It's one of a few markets here in Pohnpei. There are quite a few here. So this building or this space is divided into two. So at least a quarter or a third quarter of this space is occupied by fish sellers, fish market, and the other third quarter, I would say, is occupied by the entrepreneurs. Handicrafts and vegetables are being sold here as well.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty much simple makeup and setup. Just amazing, looking at the unique and very creative crafts and other souvenirs, I would say, that would eventually be a much-needed takeaway for a lot of visitors who have set foot here on Pohnpei.
And Joe, part of the reason that we are here, we work with International Development, ABC International Development, and we're working with the College of Micronesia to, I guess, assist students, which is quite apt that it's World Radio Day. We're teaching radio, so we're in the fish markets doing some interviews. We've got Simon, who's with the College of Micronesia, with us. G'day, Simon.
Hi. So,
you've been doing some interviews around the markets today. How have you been going with that?
Well, I'm just here for the interview for people. So I'm just asking for who working here. So yeah, they selling for the fish and any local foods, and I asked for them how did they like put the stuff on the wall. Well, for the decoration, people today came here to see the clothes, any foods local here, any, yeah. I mean, people like it too. They're going to saw the clothes, they're going to be like, oh, I love that, smell good. Yeah, so.
A good combo.
Yeah. I mean, well, most people, they making like the broom, but it came from to leaves, coconuts.
Okay. The broom, you mean? Is that what you said, yeah?
Yeah, yes. And for the banana, they said they went to forest. They have lots of bananas in the mountain. And the yams, any local food, yeah.
How do you find radio, its importance to your own self?
I learned about the radio. It's a very important yes, the social media. Any social media. So, yeah.
And also, I mean, what about making radio? I mean, you've been making radio today too, so how's that for you? Has it been a good experience?
Yeah, it is good experience, and it's very good for me.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
So, Joe, clearly we understand why radio is important. It's important to us because it's our jobs, it's our life. We've been sort of investigating that question about what radio means to people and why it's important to different people across the Pacific, particularly around natural disasters and climate change.
Yes, absolutely, Fred. You have a valid point there. Every place that we've been to in the Pacific, some positive feedback. I mean, the response have been pretty much the same in terms of how people, mostly across the Pacific, view radio, its importance, because that's one of the most reliable medium that they can rely on in terms of disaster, in terms of getting information, weather updates, and various instructions and other
warnings too.
Other important details that usually issued by the relevant authorities, the weather office, as well as the National Disaster Management Office. Yes, so yeah, that's radio, the power of radio.
And we've been at the College of Micronesia this week doing some training with some of the students at the college. And in the process of that, we did ask the students to interview their teacher, Dr. Yes. Nell, who is a bit of an expert, I think it's fair to say, in radio, about how important radio is across the Pacific.
Let's take a listen.
My name is Dr. Nell Permides. I'm a professor here at College of Micronesia FSM, and I'm teaching electronics and telecommunication courses for our AAS and certificate bound program.
One of the days this week is very important, especially in the field of radio, World Radio Day. From your experience, can you just talk about the importance of the important role that radio plays in terms of disseminating information in times of disaster?
Okay. The importance of the radio in time of disaster is it is a good tool to replace our cellular phone and other sophisticated devices that is really a power dependent or along the grid or even wireless, because the moment there is a disaster, expect that there will be a total blackout. And the radio can still work by just using a battery pack or even a cellular cell, and then it will be powered up and it can do the job of sending and receiving voice grade data so that everybody else will know what is going on in a certain area of disaster.
Have you seen examples where radio has been used during, I guess, natural disasters around the Pacific at all?
I saw one in here when they are doing the communication from one of the nearby island in Pingalap, just to send and receive an important message for the family. That's how I saw it in here, because it is much convenient for them to use that, because in other side of the atoll, they don't have any cellular phone signal there, but the RF is always present as long as the sky is there.
What's the RF, sorry?
RF stands for radio frequency. This is a type of signal that works in the sky wave in the ionosphere of our sky, wherein the signal can bounce back from the Earth and then going back to the other side of the person whom you are talking with.
My name is Simon Malarmid. I have a question about the radio, sir.
Okay.
How the radio signal work?
Okay, how the radio signal work? It all started first from the voice of the human, which is analog in nature, which create a vibration, and then it hits the microphone, and the microphone is considered to be a transducer, which convert the vibration into electrical signal. And that tiny electrical signal will be amplified by a device known as amplifier, and that amplifier will feed the signal to the transmitter. And then once that transmitter send out that signal through the antenna, and that's the time my voice can be heard elsewhere.
Well, that's it. Take care, Mr. Bermudez.
How would you rate the, you know, the level of preparedness by people out there in communities after finding out that what prompted them or what motivated them to be better prepared was after hearing announcements, instructions by the radio? Do you think radio and the people share a close and a good relationship in times of disaster?
Absolutely, because during the time of disaster, people are all thirsty on the information that they will going to get, most especially in the assistance or aid or help that they will going to get, most especially from the central or the main office or main land, for them to, you know, to get assistance like food, like health kits, things like that, for them to survive. And the news will be spread through mouth, and that's the most important thing. As long as you have this radio signal with you, nothing is possible, and all the information can be disseminated.
Morning, my name is JR, and I will be your interviewer. What inspired you to become a radio specialist?
It has something to do with my hobby before. It started all because when I was still a kid, that's my hobby, to, you know, send out signal, communicate with my friends through ham radios during that time. And as I grow older, I come across with this HF. We started CB and then now HF. And then when I was in the PI, we were taught also how to put up a station, FM station to be specific, and that's where it all started.
And I suppose that some of the weather updates, the bulletin, the information, and the wordings could be, you know, solid and very technical, but how do you ensure that the information or the messages you give out from the weather office is simplified in a manner that will be well received and better understood by people at the community level?
Okay. In here, in what we experience here in FSM, in Pohnpei, aside from saying the technical terms of the weather condition, our weather bureau here simplify it. Hey, the tide is high, there will be a strong wind, things like that. They simplify it. To make it understandable, most especially for the common people.
Clearly, Dr. Nell, you know a lot about radio, and that's probably your passion, because that's what your job is and your life is as well. So when you meet people who don't maybe understand the value of radio in 2025, how do you explain that to people, how important radio is?
Okay, for those people who are into the internet on the new technology, how am I going to do this so that they will still appreciate the radio? I will just pose the question, what will you do if we hit by a strong disaster wherein no more power, everything is out, no more transportation, but what we have is a battery, a radio transceiver, a microphone, and a speaker. So with that thing, we could still survive. We can reach out through other people around the world that, you know, ready to assist us in the time of disaster. That's the importance of radio, even though they said, oh, radio is no longer being used nowadays. But time comes, you will gonna go back again on the radio, because that's the very basic of all the advanced communication that we are using right now. That's why there is always commonly say, let's go back to basic. One day you will gonna go back to basic. That is the disaster time.
Well, thank you for having a chat to us on Pacific Prepared. We really appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you very much, too.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions.
So there was a combo interview, myself, Fred, and a few students here at the College of Micronesia interviewing Dr. Neil, someone who is well-versed with radio. And, it was quite very informative hearing his experience talking about the importance of radio here in the Federated States of Micronesia, the northern part of the Pacific.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
As we've mentioned in this episode, Joe, we've been travelling around Micronesia, the main island of Pohnpei this time, which has been incredible. And we've been to some villages to speak to locals about how natural disasters and climate change is impacting them as well.
Yes, and we were fortunate enough to set foot in one of the traditional setting. It was in the Fale, Fred, when we went there, and we spoke to the acting mayor of Sapuavi. We acknowledge him for his warm welcome and for allowing us to step in and to ask a few questions. I was quite interested in asking about traditional knowledge and the traditional aspects of things when it comes to dealing with this issue of climate change and to mitigate the impacts of climate change and other environmental issues that it's currently affecting low-lying Pacific islands at present.
Yeah, let's take a listen, Joe.
My real name is Panter. First name is Panter and last name Seven. And I'm from the other island of Pohnpei, 90 miles west of Pohnpei. And I am responsible here. My responsibility here in Pohnpei is representing the mayor for the municipal government of Sapuavi.
So that's the outer island that you're from, is that right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's another island of other island of Pohnpei. That's 90 miles from main of Pohnpei.
And so you're representing the mayor of that place?
Representing the mayor of Sapuavi.
Okay, so what's it like on the island? Can you describe it for me?
The thing is, on the island, it's much like tropical climate, right? Like here in Pohnpei and somewhere else here in Pacific. And we, on the island of Sapuavi, we got our own traditional culture, which we serve, and also we're one of the municipal government here in Pohnpei, so whatever, the Pohnpei main island there, their decision, we always, in order to follow for it.
Acting Mayor, we as Pacific Islanders, we are not spared from any natural disaster. What are some of the most frequent or common disaster that usually occur here in this group of islands?
Our experience here, just on the islands here, sometimes we got stormy, but mostly like windy, and there's no tidal wave which does cost 12, 16 feet like that, but we also experienced some the waves, and I think that's what we got most of the time we got sunny.
Just talk about some of the most unique or sacred traditional aspects that the people on this island hold dear at heart.
That's one thing I think I don't know how to explain, because there is something that we don't express that according to our traditional culture, but what we are really is that we our cooperation teamwork. Like what we intend in life, we always come together for working together.
Fred, I think that's one of the most practiced common in the Pacific, communalism, eh? Where people, villages come together as one, as unity, you know, to achieve a common purpose. Eh?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like that anyway, for sure. And you were saying that you couldn't explain it. Do you mean that you don't have a word to tell us what that means, or is it something more than that?
Yeah, I do not, I don't get the word to say it about. It's kind of confusing. I need to acknowledge the leaders before I say something like that.
Can I ask you about how you feel the community on the outer islands are prepared for natural disasters? Do you think that people are ready if something were to happen?
For the climate change?
Yeah, for climate change and for natural disasters too, so like a cyclone or a flood or a storm.
Yeah, we are preparing all of that for you.
What sort of things do you do?
We already make the sea walls around the islands, and everybody is starting to prepare, mostly inside the islands. We need to make sure that everything is okay before we face on that disaster.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter where we are in the Pacific, Joe. That's the general rule, isn't it, or general consensus that people are feeling quite prepared for disasters?
Absolutely, Fred. And Acting Mayor, it's common in the Pacific. For example, me as a Fijian, according to my culture and tradition, we have a strong connection with nature. It's like a climate indicator or weather indicator. For example, if a breadfruit bears over five breadfruit in one branch, that is an indication of a cyclone approaching. That's one of the beliefs of our elders, and it's still common today. Do that same concept also apply here for this group of islands?
Thank you. I believe it's apply. We also got others that if you're going fishing, you don't need to eat fish before you go fish, because if you go fish, you got only view. But yeah, I think it's mostly in Pacific, it's almost the same.
So you illustrated about the seawall. Is it a cement seawall or it's nature-based?
Yeah, we built the cement. It's cement. We put rocks.
Right.
Then afterward, we put the cement all over.
With the support from government?
Yeah, support from the government.
Right. So how do you rate, how do you see the level of support from government and relevant non-government organization in the fight against climate change?
I think government needed to a little bit give much attention to. And I think we're trying very hard to ask for their assistance and seeking what they're going to do for us.
How does the community feel about climate change in general?
Everybody here, I think they're concerned, preparing to face whatever will comes. So we mostly praise to our Lord, because we believe that He's the only one that can cure anything that we'll face in the future.
And how do you feel about the future?
The future, yeah, it's hopefully it's much better than what we got right now. Yeah.
You're pretty hopeful then?
Yeah, it's because if we ask, then we got. If not, we don't. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having a chat to us. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to also thank
ABC.
ABC for letting us know what's needed for the future of the island of Punpei and Sopoabik.
Pinaka, thank you very much.
Kalangan, and thank you.
And that was Mr. Banta Sapin, the acting mayor of Sapuawi, one of the traditional settings here in Pohnpei FSM.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Okay, Joe, that's it for another episode of Pacific Prepared. Thank you so much for listening and getting to another episode ending.
Yes.
Thank you for your help again this week, in person, of course, in FSM, Federated States of Micronesia.
Yes, in person in another part of the Pacific. Yeah, and thank you for having me on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners who are listening in right now. We have come to another end of another episode on Pacific Repaired. Until next week, Mother Manda.
Manaka, thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nanunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.